Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TriplePoundConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Lucianos in Baltimore, Maryland, of Lucianos.com. They will take your call and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and call to the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Nice to hear your voice again, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. We had 2 weeks off for our holidays, as we almost always do. We took off for Christmas. We took off for Hanukkah. We took off for winter solstice. And then, as if that wasn't enough, we took off for New Year's, too. That being European New Year's. We have not taken off for Orthodox Christmas. We just, that would be too many takeoffs. So here we are. Today we have as our guest, Lucianos from Baltimore, as Miss Tammy Lee said. And Lucianos is an old, old friend of mine, someone who has been in the Lucky Mojo family for a long time and has come out, stayed at our house, done an apprenticeship with me, and has presented at our workshops that we do every May. So, Lucianos, I'm very glad to have you here. Nice to know that you're available to talk to people on the radio.
Welcome.
Thank you so much, Miss Kat. You're very kind, and I'm so happy to be here.
And we're still eating the cookies and panforte.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Lucianos, for those who don't know him, is known for his wonderful walking tours of the hoodoo and conjure shops of Baltimore. And during those tours, he also finds the most amazing local foods and sends them to us. And so we are the very happy beneficiaries of your generosity, Lucianos. And the panforte is just beautiful, the burgers, cookies, the Zeke's coffee. If anyone is ever going to Baltimore, you should hook up with Lucianos and arrange to go see all the candle shops and eat all the food.
It sounds
very true. When I first moved to the neighborhood where I still am, here in Baltimore, I really discovered another world. And I really have to thank you, Ms. Kat, for giving me additional cultural context and history, which really helped me understand more of what I was seeing and how it came to be. That said, root work and conjure is very much alive and vital tradition here in the city of Baltimore. It doesn't look exactly the same way that it does in other parts of the country, because as you might imagine, being in Maryland, Baltimore is predominantly Catholic. But that said, some folks like to talk about hoodoo or root work or conjure as if these are, old traditions that are, sort of dusty and forgotten. But no. They're very much alive and well, and you can see it all around here in my neighborhood anyway.
Yeah, well, you have really turned us on to some of what's still very vital, very living tradition in Baltimore. And I'm looking forward to the day you put all that up on your beautiful Baltimore Candle Shop Tour website.
I know. And the fact is, they are written, and it's just on me now to just do the simple work of putting them up. So thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, well, those of us who are in the Hoodoo Root Work Correspondence course and get the Yahoo group feed of that correspondence course know what I'm talking about, these beautiful write-ups that Lukianos does. So, Ali, how are you today? I didn't mean to neglect you. Nice to hear your voice again, too.
I never feel neglected. It's great to be back, and it's great to hear everyone's voice. I must say I definitely missed the show in our 2-week hiatus, but it was a very productive 2 weeks, and I'm excited to be back and excited to be on the show with Lukianos, who I've had a chance to talk to a few times before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Likewise, I'm thrilled to be able to be sort of live and working in concert with you, Conjurman Ali, and Miss Kat.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. The two of you guys have a couple of things in common with me, and we're a little different than some of the other conjure workers, is that we are, the three of us, kind of serious history buffs. And I'd add Deacon Millett into that pile, too, and maybe there's a few others. But we really love to explore the old traditional ways of doing root work and to keep those old traditions alive. I think that's one of the things that you bring to your work that is just so wonderful. But you also have been initiated in African diasporic religious traditions. And I know that you, for instance, for your divination, you use the West African system of the cowrie shells. It's called obi, right?
Well, the type of obi that I'll be doing tonight, I am using 4 broken cowries. That's true. If I were, if coconuts were actually in season and were more reliable where I am, I'd be using coconut shells because obi is actually coconut. But it's still geomantic form of divination that you find throughout North and West Africa. And I absolutely will be using it tonight. It's a form of divination which I started using over a decade ago when I first had contact with the African diaspora in the form of initiation. And I found it to be a remarkably versatile and very reliable way of getting yes-no answers. And, of course, the key there is it's not so much the answer that you get, but you also have to know how to phrase the question. And so that actually is taking longer to learn than simply understanding the signs that come out. It's being able to ask the right question.
Because the reason for that is that that obi, whether it's done with the coconut shells or whether it's done with the cowries, is basically a yes-no type system, right?
Yes, no, and maybe. That's right.
Yes, no, and maybe.
Yes. Absolutely. I just got to ask now.
How do you get maybe if you have an up or down? How do you get the yes no? How do you get the maybe?
Well, so here's the thing. In the system, there are so if you just look at it mathematically, it's easier to get a yes than a no. But the fact of the matter is, not every yes is equally strong. So if, for example, I get 2 up and 2 down, that's a solid yes. If, however, I get 3 mouths up and 1 mouth down, and I get that twice in a row, you can say, well, that's a maybe yes, but that's not very strong. So that's really
nice.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read for people, you tell them how many mouths, by mouths you mean the open side of the cowrie, right? So you tell them how many mouths are up and how many mouths are down?
I usually don't because most of the people who contact me, if I were to tell them, 2 miles up and 2 miles down, they would just sort of look at me as if I had 2 heads. So the reason that they're coming to me in that sense as a reader and as a diviner is to interpret what's thrown. Now, in some cases, I do talk a little bit about, the configurations because you can also get configurations that can say, yes, but with difficulty or... In some cases, you may get a case where a shell is literally on its side, and depending on which way it falls, one way or the other, that that can actually change the answer that you get. And, you know, in a situation like that, what I'll tell the client is that, you know, the answer to this question is in your hands. What you choose to do, that's going to tell you whether it's yes or no.
I see. So there's some leeway, and you can ask the question again in a couple of ways so that you can kind of refine it.
I do sometimes ask questions to clarify. I never ask the same question of Obi twice because that's just rude.
Oh, that's
that
rude.
Point,
all right. Got it.
That's one way to put it. I mean, a more traditional way to say, you know, don't ask what you already know. And if you're
well,
you
know,
giving you the answer, yeah.
Yeah, I've learned how to do the Obi, not as well as you, but I can do it. But I'm always reminded, I learned on the old I Ching, Chinese system, and there's one of the hexagrams is it's called the young fool, youthful folly, and it says, don't ask me this again. I learned not to ask the same question twice, but I meant like refining in on it. All right,
so we hope
you're going to do
some... And that's a very reasonable way to go about constructing not just one question, but really thinking of the situation in terms of a series of questions and getting gradually, you know, increasingly more refined as you go forward.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good. I like this information. So if people come to AIR and see you AIR and it says that you do Obi, and so now you know you can get Obi for more than a yes-no, and we're going to have Lukianis do some Obi reading here, I hope. And you also
Absolutely.
Read with tarot cards, right?
That's true. I've actually been reading with tarot cards for longer than I've been reading with Obi. I've been reading professionally for the better part of 15 years at this point, which shocks me sometimes, but there you go.
And which deck do you use?
So tonight I'll be using the Thoth deck, which is actually my preferred deck for divination. I've gotten to the point where I sometimes do translate the cards into Rider-Waite imagery for those who are more familiar with those decks. But for clients who don't know the cards and, again, just want a reading, you know, I worry less about that.
Yeah, the Thoth deck is a very popular deck because the images are kind of a beautiful, beautiful artwork, a little bit on the neutral side as far as the meanings. But I'd say it's the second most popular deck after the Rider-Waite, which is the good old literalist deck that people like me and Ollie use.
I have to say, I started using the Thoth deck because I really like sort of the Rudolf Steiner-inspired artwork that Lady Frieda Harris put into it. And so there you go.
Very beautiful imagery on there, too. Yeah, absolutely. I've seen this.
Yeah. Lady Frieda Harris was a phenomenal artist, and the deck is worth it just for the art alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a question from the chat room. Nadia Parter asks, Lukianis, do you cut a fresh Obi each time? She means with the coconut shells.
Well, if I'm using coconuts, then yeah, I definitely will. In the atmosphere of Baltimore, it's very hard to keep coconut fresh for any period of time. But for the cowrie shells, I have a special set of cowries that I have opened and consecrated for the purpose of divination in this context. And so I don't cut a fresh set of cowrie shells every time. But coconut is perishable. So for that, you really kind of do have to go with fresh.
Okay.
Now, there's also another question in the forum just for Lukianis, and this is from Mary B., and she's wondering, because you mentioned the tour of the candle shops, if you know a particular shop in the Baltimore area, and it's called, I think, Crystals, let's see what she said.
Crystal Candles and Cauldrons, yes, I do.
Cauldrons, with the Hungun mat.
I don't know Hungun mat. I'm not certain if that's because I don't know him or if simply that's an individual that I may have met in another context going by a different name. But I am familiar with the shop. You know, I've certainly gotten herbs and other things there before, and I'm on friendly terms with the proprietors. So there you go. They're actually located in Hamden, not the neighborhood where I'm in.
I see. In the neighborhood where you're in, there's some of these older ones like Grandma's
That's right.
What are some of the other
then, Lucky Star, Jericho, Grandma's Candle Shop are probably the big three in my immediate neighborhood.
Yeah, and those are famous.
Yeah. I mean, Jericho especially, they've been around since probably the 1930s or 40s. I mean, that used to be an old-time pharmacy. And, it's changed a little bit over the years, but it still has probably the best selection of herbs in this part of the city.
And Zen Rez asks in the chat room, is Baltimore known for its candle shops? Yes, Zen Rez.
Yes,
Baltimore
it is.
Baltimore and Philadelphia probably are known for some of the really old shops. You know, everybody has these, and I talk about this all the time, they got this jonesing for New Orleans thing, but they ain't nothing in New Orleans like in Baltimore. Baltimore is, if you want to hang out in an old candle shop, you go to Baltimore. It's going to be a lot sweeter for you. All right. So that is one of those things that, you know, hoodoo is found, conjure shops are found all around the country, but they do tend to cluster in certain towns. Baltimore is an old town, and as Luciano said, Maryland was settled by Catholics, so that's where you're going to find the most mixed Catholic and Protestant forms together, and you know, because that was a Catholic colony back in the old colonial days. All right. Okay. Well, let's see. We're going to be doing some readings today, so let me give you the ground rules, how it works. We're going to be doing, as we usually do, four readings and root works for people, and we do them in pairs, Luciano. So first we're going to have two people do a reading. That'll be you and me, and then Ali will give them some root work for their system, mm-hmm. their problem. Then the next batch, that it'll be Ali and me reading, and you'll give them the root work, and then it'll be you and Ali reading, and I'll give them the root work. We'll just go around the circle like that. So that makes sense?
And, absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. So, and that's how we expect it to go. And let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee, and let's get started with our readers. And I'll just tell you briefly. I'm going to be reading with the Rider-Waite-Smith, and I'll be reading the Bones. And Ali will be reading what?
I will be using the Rider-Waite, my crystal ball, and my spirit of divination.
All right. Okay, Miss Tammy Lee, what's up for us?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. And this week's special guest, Lucianos, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client, and our first client is calling from area code 478 from Warder Robins, Georgia. This is P. Barnes. P. Barnes, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Thank you. I'm going to read the brief synopsis and description of your situation. And P. Barnes writes, I wanted to know if John, an Aquarius, and I, Patricia, a Cancer, will rekindle our relationships. We have not seen or talked since August of this year. Also, is it worth it to do spell work in this situation? Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, that was short and sweet. All right. Thank you. So, Patricia.
Yes.
I'm just going to have to break with tradition here and just ask you, why is the name of that town Warner Robins? Was it named after a person named Warner Robins? And who was Warner Robins?
I absolutely have no idea.
All right, great. I just had to ask. I'm sorry. It's been I've shipped products to Warner Robins, and I'm like, is it two towns that got next to each other, you know, Warner and Robins? Or was there some old farmer named Mr. Warner? Well, all right, someday I'll find out. I'm not going to look it up in Wikipedia. I'm going to wait for God and nature to deliver the answer to my mirror. All right, so let's start off with a reading for you then. So so you and John had a breakup, have not seen or talked since August.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
And how long were you together before that time?
We go off and on for about 5 years.
Okay. All righty. Okay, so I'm going to lay down three cards and see what I have here. Okay. Well, the first card is a good card. It's not a card that says, yes, you will get back together, but it also says that nothing has really been lost permanently. It's a card called Temperance. Now, this is a card that shows an angel, and the angel has a white robe on and big wings and has two cups of water, like wine glasses, pouring water back and forth, and we call that two minds with but a single thought, or two hearts that beat as one, and we also say not a drop is spilled, nothing is lost. So whatever there was between you and has been between you could be rekindled again, because the basic relationship between the two of you, there's a kind of a heartbeat to it that just keeps on going no matter what happens. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like there's something about the two of you. You're kind of in sync with one another. But there have been problems. Now, the angel has one foot on the land and one foot in the water. And when I see the foot on the land, I think, well, that's the practical way, you know, traipse over land and get there. But that angel's foot on the land is up against a hard rock, and then there's no way open, no path. There is a foot in the water, that stands for spirit. And those who've heard me read this card before say that says the way to the path is through the water, through spirit. And then the path picks up again on the other side of the water, and it goes up over hills and then more valley, dark valley, more hills, mountains, and it gets to a crown at the end. So what this tells me is that even if you do get back together, it's not going to solve the ups and downs. This is always going to be a kind of a up and downs, up and down, on and off type relationship. That's just the nature of the relationship. But what I would do is do some bathing and some cleansing with water and do some prayer, because this card says it is possible that you can get back together again. Now, there's another little thing here on the card, and these are these iris flowers that are growing on the right-hand side. And iris is a flower that stands for hope, rainbow. Iris means rainbow, and, you know, rainbow brings hope. But iris also means messenger, and an angel is here. An angel means messenger. So you have not communicated since August. Do you have any mutual friends you could communicate through, or any way to get to this?
No, we don't.
All right. So, well, do you have too much pride to call?
I do, and he does too.
All right. Well, because the next card I see is a card called the Eight of Wands, and this is a card that shows eight wands that have been thrown through the air, and they're about to land, and they're really coming down by a little stream of water. It tells me you ought to try to contact him. I know you might have pride, but you're not going to run into him in the parking lot of the Piggly Wiggly in Warner Robins, I'll tell you that.
We live like 2 hours apart.
Yeah, so you're going to have to contact him. And this card, Eight of Wands, says do it sooner than later. These wands are just about to hit. It's like about to hit. Don't wait. Don't delay. If you really want to, give it a try. Now, there is a third card here that I have, and the third card says that there may be a little bit of a struggle in this relationship. Does he have somebody else or something else on his mind?
He does. He has a teenage relationship, and they're the mother of his two kids. So he won't leave her, and I want him to come to me. So it's kind of like back and forth between us both.
Right, because what I have here is the Five of Swords, and it shows someone trying to send other people away without hurting them. In other words, you don't want to do a killing spell on this. Not their fault.
No.
Yeah. But
I want him with his kids, but I want him to realize he doesn't necessarily have to be with her to be a good dad to his kids.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Well, this is the problem here. And, you know, I'm looking at this, this is not an easy to win fight. So getting him back in communication. So you asked one question, can I get him back? But the real question is, can you get her gone? And that is not as easy as yes. That's kind of a maybe.
Oh, no, she's
maybe.
Not going to give up easily.
No, she's not. And there's a sword fight involved. All right, so that's what I'm seeing here. Now, Lukianos, what do you see?
Okay, well, I actually did a quick three-card poll on this, and I got the first card I got was the Queen of Discs. So out of curiosity, is the mother of his children, is she an earth sign?
She what?
Is she
an earth,
sign? Like a
no,
Capricorn?
She's a Cancer just like me.
Oh, okay. Well, the sequence I got was Queen of Discs, Three of Swords, Four of Cups. And, you know, to my mind, it doesn't look so good. It says that, so yeah, the Queen of Discs is there. She is sort of in her oasis. You can go there, but there's going to be sorrow as a result of that with the Three of Swords. And there's also the possibility of, you know, a refusal with the Four of Cups. But anyway, let me go to Obi.
What did you say about the Four of Cups? There are other people?
Well, no, with the Four of Cups, in my deck it's sometimes called luxury. In other decks it can also be called the refusal. So
I call it the refusal.
Who has had too much, maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing, but in the Rider-Waite deck you see this hand coming out of a cloud offering another golden goblet, and the man is just, you know, sitting with his back against a tree with, you know, a line of cups in front of him, and he's got his arms folded and his head is turned away, you know, refusing what's being offered. So it does not look stellar from that lineup, I'm afraid.
Yeah, what I'm seeing here is that what the readings we're getting, and there were a couple of other people doing readings in the chat room too, the stuff between you and him is really, really good, but this other woman, and you didn't put her in your question, and really she's the issue here. So, you know, you got to swallow your pride, and if you do want it, he's not going to come back to you. You ought to contact him, but even then, it's not that easy. But let's see what Ali has to say. What do you think she can do?
Yeah, this is it's one of those situations where, Patricia, you and him do share something as what, you know, Miss Kat and Lukianos is seeing. There is something there, but that's not the point. You know, we kind of... Miss Kat really hit the nail on the head when she asked, is there someone else in the picture? Because that's really what the crux of this situation is this other woman. Now, you're going to have to decide what you're willing, how far you're willing to take this in order to get this man back. In situations like this, if I were doing the work, I would obviously recommend some form of breakup work or some form of work aimed at neutralizing her offense, if not necessarily separating the two of them, but at least getting it to the point where he can accept the fact that he can be a good father without having to be with her. Right now, my recommendation would be first to do work aimed at getting him to contact you or softening him up so that when you contact him, because he's in a state of refusal, that Four of Cups says, you know what, I'm not interested, I'm not going to call you. You know, he's kind of stubborn in that sense. Softening up so that when you do call him, you can rekindle that type of friendship. What I would recommend... is taking some come to me incense, mixing it with a little bit of tobacco, just a pinch of tobacco and powdered Queen Elizabeth root, and then lighting that on fire while you pray the Song of Solomon and calling out his name. You know, John, you're thinking of me, John, you're missing me, John, you're going to come to me. As this prayer goes up to the Lord, so will my answer, you know, so will my prayers be answered. The idea, the reason I'm saying incense in this particular instance is because we had that card with the angel. Obviously, angels represent messengers. And incense is the best way to get a message across. You know, this is sending him a spiritual message. And then you're going to follow that up with an actual call. Once you've softened him up, lighting that incense, praying, you know, for his heart and mind to be soothed, you know, to be warm and sweet towards you. Then you want to call him and actually establish some form of contact. Once you've established some form of contact, then you can determine whether, you know, you how far you want to take the situation. Do you want to fight for this man? Because I'm sensing with that Queen of Pentacles that this woman is not going to be easy to go away. She's not going to just,
Yeah,
she's not going to turn tail and walk the other way. She's, Queen of Pentacles is a strong woman. This is a woman who's rooted, you know, it's an earth, card. She's rooted, she's, you know, financially, she's there, she's not going to walk away. So contact first and then determine what you want to do. But do that little incense trick, call him up, and then decide whether you want to pursue him or not. And I would also suggest, for your own sake, to actually do this following prayer. Light a white candle, pray Psalm 23, and then go to bed and ask the Lord, what should I do in this particular instance? Should I fight all the way? Should I let it go and walk away? And then go to bed facing the candle. When you wake up in the morning, you will have your answer. You will know whether this is a situation that you're going to have to pull out all the guns and get ready to do breakup work, or this is a situation where, you know what, it's best just to be friends with this guy. Does that make sense?
Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Because well, what I'm seeing here is, and this is an interesting thing, and I don't mean to, you know, single you out, but you represent to me a certain kind of client, and I'm sure that Ali and Lukianos know what I'm talking about. Client comes to us with one question, but in the course of the reading, it turns into another question, and I saw it happen when that Five of Swords fell out. I was, wait a minute. This isn't about they had a little quarrel. This is about somebody else, right?
Right.
And then Lukianos got that too. And this is something, again, I'm not trying to single you out or criticize, but it's just a good piece of advice to clients. State your problem clearly, because we could spend a lot of time, and of course in a paid reading, that could be a lot of paid time before we get down to what the actual issue is. Now, I understand why you asked it the way you did, because it has been on and off. What I'm seeing is it's on you. If you want to contact, you can, but as soon as you contact, hey, she gets her sword, and then you're going to go another round, you know?
Okay.
So it may not,
I didn't,
you know,
mean to disguise it, because when we're together, it's
not
like she really she doesn't mean a lot to him unless he's lying to me about that part. So, I don't know.
Well, I think that's a whole other issue, is what's he lying about. And I do feel that you have something with him that she does not, but she's a Cancer just like you.
Yeah.
And so she's going to cling for her home just the way that you would. The two of you are evenly matched in that regard. And he's a person who is less emotional. Aquarius, he's less emotional than either of you.
Yes, very.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can play it as you want to, in other words. But whatever was between you two, you can always rekindle it. That's not going to stop. Question is it worth fighting for, or just go find somebody else? Okay, because it would be a fight, and you're not guaranteed to win. Okay?
Yeah. And if he's happy there and want to be there, I'd rather let him stay. But thank you guys very much.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Now, Lukianos and Ali, I'm going to ask your opinion about this, because this is something that happens to me a lot. I just spoke my mind about it. How do you all feel about that? When a client comes to you and all of a sudden you've got to go to that other, you know, you have to go almost out on a limb, you know, like, whoa, I see somebody else here. What do you all do?
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, sometimes some clients are going to be forthcoming about that as the reading unfolds. And other clients, it's almost like part of what they want to do is sort of test the reader and see how much you can intuit what their situation is. And honestly, in some cases, it depends on the type of divination that you're doing. In the African traditional systems, in some cases, that's the expectation. You're the diviner, and you're supposed to be able to tell what the person's problem is. But usually, if you're reading cards or, you know, even reading Obi, I do tell my clients that if they want the best value and the best information out of, you know, out of the service that they're, you know, contracting with me for, they really will get better quality information and more useful information if they provide the information about what their situation actually is. I mean, if they ask vague questions, they're probably going to get vague answers. But if they ask, you know, more detailed questions or questions that are actually based on the totality of the situation, then they're much more likely to get, you know, sort of the higher quality answers and information that is really ultimately, I think, more useful to them. But that's me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I find that generally there's three types of people that will do that. There's the first is they're really new to the concept of reading, and so they don't really know what's going on. They kind of expect you know, they assume that the term psychic also means omniscient, you know, all-seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in and they kind of assume for you to, you know, just go on and speak and pull things out of thin air without realizing that that reading is a social experience. You know, it's two people working together with one person using their talents to draw a picture together. I will see something, but context has to be provided by the client. The second type of client is the person who is like Luciano said, wants you to kind of prove yourself as a reader. Well, if you're a reader, you should know that. And then the third type of person is the person, and I don't think this was the case with our current caller, but is a little bit more manipulative. This is the client that wants to keep certain elements out in order to favor, you know, turn the favor of the reading, so to speak, towards them. This is usually done with the idea that, well, maybe if they see things from my point of view, the reader or root worker will take on the case. My best recommendation for clients, and I say this every single time when I speak to a client over the phone or via email, is I will see things, but the context is really up to you. If you provide me with the information, with the right set of questions, with the right set of background, when I pull that, you know, card, I'll be like, okay, I understand where in the picture that card fits. Otherwise, I'm getting these disjointed messages that it's up to you to interpret. I can send the messages to you if you want to do it that way. It's far trickier, it's messier, and it doesn't give us a clean, clear picture. If we work together with you providing context, with you providing, you know, more transparent information and me providing the messages, we will be able to paint a beautiful picture together. Now, over the years, I've also, you know, impacted with a spirit, you know, spirit of divination who happens to be extraordinarily no-nonsense. And so luckily, when I have clients, he usually steps in real quick and go, hold on. And he's very no-nonsense. And so when he speaks up, you know that something is missing in the picture. So it is one of those occurrences that happens during reading.
Yeah. Well, this is something we all face as readers, and a lot of people in the chat room are saying, yeah, sometimes people test us, and sometimes people are just ignorant of what a reading should be like. And that is true, too. I try to teach people how to be a good client as well. That's always something that we have a web page at the AIR site. It's called Tips for First-Time Clients. Anybody who wants to know ought to check that one out, because it tells you how to be a client, because all the psychic readers know pretty much what they're doing, and if you don't, it's like you have to join their baseball team. You got to play by their rules. And likewise, there are people who want to learn to be a psychic and don't know how to handle clients. So there's a kind of a dance there that goes on between the client and the reader. So I'm not saying that she was leaving things out to test us. She said she was not, and I know that. She's totally sincere. But sometimes people don't see the depth of their own issue. All right. Well, Miss Tammy Lee, let's go on to our number two caller. Who do we have next?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you each week by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Lucky Mojo manufactures and distributes all the paraphernalia of hoodoo and conjure, including anointing oil, sachet powders, and incense, crystal salts for spiritual baths and floor wash, herbs, resins, waters, and colognes, roots, zoological and mineral curios, books, candles, and religious goods, folkloric amulets, talismans, and charms. Drop by if you're in the area or find us online at luckymojo.com. Now let's return to those callers who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum. And our next caller is calling from area code 404 and calling from Atlanta, Georgia. And we are with RetroStyle. RetroStyle, are you there with us? RetroStyle, can you hear me?
Uh-oh.
RetroStyle?
I think we have just a sound effect. I don't think we have a human being.
No.
Style, not here.
I think we lost them.
Yeah. Let's try the next one.
All right. Our next one is going to be from 301. We have a follow-up from Best of Life, 301 from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Best of Life. Are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Right.
Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome.
Welcome. I'm going to go ahead and read the synopsis. And Best of Life writes, I had previously posted in the Lucky Mojo forum about this, and Miss Kat says it may have to do with my level of protection and that I was being attacked as I sleep. I have no remembrance of my dreams 99% of the time for almost a year now. I've had someone send me a horrific nightmare, and I've had some spirit-led dreams. Lately, I've had odd dreams, and so has my son. I went to sleep with a pad and paper and got up with the following in order. 9, wolf, woman, protection, control, sick. I've been told to look out for a woman, but I have no idea who it is or if this woman is one of the same as in the dream. A couple of weeks ago, my son had a dream that I was crying in my sleep and there were voices in my room and in my bathroom. What do these dreams mean? I also need remediation about this nighttime attack, both for my son and I, and dream blockage. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, hi, Best of Life. I do remember this, and I'm sure that Ali does too. And you are definitely having a huge disturbance in your dream world, and you know, because most people's dreams pretty straightforward. Let's see what's going to maybe Ali, would you like to do a reading on this and see what you see?
Certainly. Hello, Best of Life.
Hi.
What I've done is I've pulled 3 cards here from the tarot deck, and I'll go over these cards and what they mean to the situation. The first card that we get is the 8 of Wands, the 8 of Staves. This shows 8 arrows, 8 staves flying across a countryside, you know, super fast speed, and that's the only thing you see in the card. And what this card always means is it's the card of messages. Some of us readers nowadays joke that it's also the card of text messages. As you know, technology has evolved, so has the messages of the card. But what this does mean is that you do have the capability to get spirit messages in your dream, that your dreams do send meaning to you from your subconscious. They come flying across your mind, and that's what these 8 of Wands mean. However, they also tell us that you are somewhat under attack because these are sometimes known as the arrows of war. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're being cursed, you're being destroyed, or anything like that. It means that you're facing turmoil and trouble. Now, the turmoil you're facing is revealed in the next card, which is the 5 of Cups. This shows a man, and he's a man or a woman, and he's wrapped in a black cloak, and they're looking down at 3 spilled cups, and there's 2... and from these cups are spilling milk and wine, and behind are 2 perfectly fine cups, and there's a ruined castle in the distance. This is the card of the inability of moving on from the past, moving on from the destruction that you've been, unable to see that there is opportunity. This is being stuck in a state of depression, mourning, and fear, so to speak. What I see here is that you have faced trouble. You have faced difficulty. You have faced attacks in the past. Because you faced those attacks, you have been unable, so to speak, mentally to move away from them. Okay, this happens actually quite a lot in crossed and uncrossed clients. When I have a client who suffered for a long period of time under a curse, once I uncross them, even though they're removed from the crossing, even though they're free, what happens is their mindset is so used to feeling attacked that they haven't been able to shift mentally out of that. And the result that we get, the next card, is the Hanged Man. This is a man hung from his ankle with his arm tied behind his back. And there's a halo around his head. This tells me that what you did is because you were having nightmares, because you were having, you know, these attacks in the past, you upped the ante on your protection. You did all sorts of great protection work. And I remember this from your posts on the forum.
Okay.
And as a result, you tied up your own dreams. Does that make sense? Because here, this is an innocent man with a halo around him, and he's hung upside down. So here we have, you have these messages coming from your dreams. You know, beautiful pictures painted with these three cards. You have these messages from your dreams. You have faced great turmoil, but because you're unable to step away from that and look right behind you to the two beautiful cups that are behind you, you've put up all this protection and in the process tied yourself up. Okay? When we have situations, when we have nightmares, when we have messages from spirit, the best approach is not to sit up and put up walls of fire to keep everything out, but rather to filter things, to create something that keeps the bad out and let the good come in. We don't want to create fortresses where we're completely isolated from the world, because that's not living in spirit. That's living, you know, in isolation. That's becoming the hermit. We don't want that. What we want is to open yourself up to spirit so that you receive messages that to clean out, you know, the negative, the bad, the trickster spirits, the cross conditions, the nightmares. Now, specifically speaking about your dreams, I think your dreams, those messages are very much in line with what I'm saying here. The world, the word control comes up. It's not about controlling your dreams. It's about opening your mind up to the right type of dreams. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Good, good. Well, let's turn it over to my colleagues and see what they see, okay?
And one comment. The reason I had gotten so heavy with the protection work was because the person that sent me the nightmare is very powerful. We were involved for a while, and we stopped seeing each other, and he came, I guess, and sent a nightmare. The spirits told me before the dream popped up, and that's when I really got serious with doing a lot more protection work.
And that's understandable.
Well, yeah, I see this, and I'm going to do a very quick bone reading, all right? So to explain, I use a style of bone reading where not everything is a bone. I have a little skull bowl made out of a human skull. I reach into it. I have many, many bones. I just grab what comes in my hand. That's what I'm going to be using. This is an abbreviated bone reading, not the long one. And I just throw them out. It's going to make a pattern like tea leaves, okay? So what I've thrown out here, I just threw out a little handful. And what I have is very interesting because there's actually only two bones in it and a tooth, or excuse me, and a claw, two bones and a claw. The rest of them is other things. So what, at the center, this looks like a star-type pattern. At the center is a little bell. A bell is an alarm. It means wake up, right? And going away from you, in other words, in the past, there's a little doll hand going away from that bell, and it's going to a coyote claw, which means someone attacking you with their claws, right? A betraying person, and that is turned away. In other words, the attack is somewhat over. And the hand, the little doll hand, I have different doll hands. Some have little grasping fingers. Some have little stop-type hands. And this is a little stop, and it's saying stop. And you've actually been very successful in repelling this attack. But there's this little bell, you know, a little alarm bell. This is what it sounds like, a little bell. And then on the other side of the bell, which is going into the future, we have another hand, and this hand is reaching like it's trying to get something. There is a lion's paw bone, which means strength, and also stands for grabbing and getting what you want. And there is a rattlesnake backbone, vertebrae. And these together say to me, you have done the protections. You need to now kind of stand up and like the rattlesnake, be brave. And it's kind of interesting because rattlesnakes make a little rattle. This bell makes a little rattle too. What you might want to do is put up, instead of something to stop all your dreams and stop these nightmares that were being sent to you, put up something that will, put up a spell that will send up an alarm if there is a nightmare coming, but won't stop your dreams, because you've actually kind of stopped everything. But be brave, be courageous, like that rattlesnake. You know, you want a warning system, but you also want to be really brave. And that lion's paw says you do have a lot of spiritual strength. It's a very strong, one of the strongest bones in the set. And it always stands for getting what you want, like the powerful lion who can strike and get what they want. So you do have some power here. Let's turn it over to Lukianus. What would you suggest as remediation?
All right. Well, so there are a few things that immediately come to my mind. And it's interesting that Khandriman Ali brought up the topic of filtration. because that's exactly the sort of thing that I was thinking of for use in your case, best of life. So a very traditional thing to do to either, you know, stop hags or nightmares from getting to one is to put something like a flour sieve or a strainer or something that has a lot of little holes in it, like a mesh, and put that under the bed.
Okay, I've heard of that.
I mean, in my case, I've been known to use you know, some of these old you know, geologic shaker type filters. You know, they have, you know, meshes of various sizes, and they're conveniently sized. But you can really use anything that has a fine mesh to it. And the idea is that for whatever reason, agents in the spirit world are obligated to count each and every hole in the mesh before they can pass through it. And they never manage to finish before dawn, or at least that's how it's been told to me. So that's one thing. If you have, I guess, connection to Native American tradition, you might try to use something called a dream catcher, which operates under a similar principle. Again, it's sort of this, you know, web-like, you know, meshwork with component. And again, the idea is allowing good things to come through to you while stopping anything that, you know, is trying to disturb your peace. You know, just as a side note, I also happen to be a big fan of putting a written copy of Psalm 121 under one's pillow.
That's a good one.
The Lord, which cometh my strength, and shall not suffer my youth to be moved. He that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber, et cetera, et cetera. And these are the sorts of protective measures which are aimed not sort of the firewall of protection, keeping everything out, but things which acknowledge that there are good messages that you want to remain open to, messages that can be helpful, messages from those who love you and mean well, and you want those things to get through, while at the same time cutting off access to those things which do mean you harm. And one question I would like to ask you, Best of Life, what sorts of protection do you currently employ, surrounding the area of sort of sleep time and dream time?
Wow. Well, I have protection around my house. I have my grandfather's graveyard dirt. I have that, and I have some basalt, and I have firewall protection from Lucky Mojo, and I have some stuff on my windows. I have a deer skull as well.
Well, I would like to mention this thing, the things that you dreamed about. 9 wolf woman protection control sick. That wolf is interesting because that's so often a totem animal of strength and power. Protection is something we've been talking about here, that if you protect too much and don't leave some, you know, maybe it's time to move from so much protection to what we would call the distant early warning system, or what a filtration system, like Luciano said. And that's control, because that's how to control your protection so that it's less, you know, whatever. Now, sick, I don't know. I'm not feeling that one, but, you know, there is also always a possibility. And whenever I have someone tells me they dream of sickness, I tell them, go to a doctor, because your body is sending you a message. So that's another issue you might want to check up on, is just get your physical checkup and see if that's anything that is causing you to have disturbed sleep, okay? As for your son and his dream, he dreamed that you were crying, so he's concerned. In other words, the fear is spreading to him, and you need to make sure you have a safe place for the child to sleep in, that things are good for him. But I also, whenever I dream of something sick, I always go to a doctor. Seriously, that's just,
I think I may know
those.
What it is. With me being sick. Yeah, I wanted to do something like that to let the good in and to keep the bad away, but I wasn't exactly sure how to, you know, do that, you know.
Well, one of the things that was mentioned was this using the flour sifter or sieve under the bed. It really does, as old-fashioned as can be. Another one is to have a Bible open to Psalms 121 and put a pair of scissors over it. And those are very ancient ways to protect yourself, but do so by kind of spirit trapping and keeping
right.
your sleep good. But, you know, I wouldn't be so concerned at this point with protection, because when you protect too much, like you said, you just kill all your dreams and then you begin to feel unnatural. So
yeah.
try to fine tune it at this point, from protection to control. That's what your dream said, control.
So do I need to change what level of protection I have up now, or just
I would relax a little bit. I would say this. This is what I do. I would say, if I'm going to have a nightmare or a disturbed dream, let me awaken before anything bad happens. And see if you can get to that. I think I've mentioned on the radio show before, I had a series of dream attacks sent to me by one particular person, day after night after night after night. But I had a system I was taught, which was, before the attack becomes so frightening, before you're in a dream of life or death, you wake up. And I was told, stand up, get out of bed, no matter how cold it is, just get out of bed and just turn around three times, say your prayers. If you know Psalm 121, say it, or any part of it. Turn around three times and go back to bed and sleep on a different part of your body. In other words, if you were on your left, sleep on your right. It really will break it. And if you do that a few nights in a row, they won't come back. I've done it. So that's what I'm talking about, is a warning system. Okay. Now, we're going to have to go on to our next caller, but I hope we were able to help.
Yes, you were. Thank you all very much. I appreciate
all righty.
It.
Thank you.
All righty. Good luck to
you.
All righty.
Thank you.
Okay, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kath. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling from area code 530. This is Pam calling from area code 530 from Davis, California. Pam, welcome to the show.
Hi.
I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description and synopsis of your case for our host. Pam writes, I've been having problems with job and in relationship. I've been without a job for 6 months, and I've been working at a suicide prevention center for 6 months. I've been laid off prior for 14 months. Can you please tell me when things are going to get better for me? What I can do to fix my money and love situation? Thank you for helping. Turning it back over to you.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome, Pam. This is Lukianos. Hello, Pam. Are you there?
Just a quick thing. I was talking about the suicide prevention center. My sister committed suicide July 13, 2010. And so I went in to get some help with therapy, and I ended up working with that company. And it was the most awful experience that ended up, you know, because of all the mental issues that were going on and some of the stuff that happened. So I consistently have been getting that throughout all my job issues and my relationship issues, that people try to put their stuff on me. And this was the first time I was able to break it. But I keep losing my job in the relationship situations, like on again, off again, and I want to break that and make it better for me and to get a better understanding. So I actually got the Lucky Mojo study job spell from you guys, and then I've been lighting candles and doing prayers. So I don't know, what else can I do to make myself better and to gain more self-confidence?
Okay. Well, that you definitely bring a lot to the table, Pam. And, you know, thank you for, you know, being open and willing to talk about where you're at. So I'm actually going to go to Obi as the divination method to open. And So the first question that I asked of Obi was, you know, are your job issues separate from your relationship issues, or are they all sort of mixed together? And the answer that I got from Obi was that they do seem to be related, although at least with the initial throw, it does not appear to be the work of someone living. The next question that I'm going to ask is, this something connected to the dead? Yes. Okay, and I'm getting what the equivalent of a maybe yes when I asked, is it related to your sister? Okay, it's more strongly related to someone else in your family. So you mentioned that your sister passed in 2010. Are there any other members of your family who have passed relatively recently?
Both my grandmothers passed, my grandfather passed a year ago. So it's been like, you know, just every year someone's been passing, the thing is, I've been in the healthcare industry, and I've been trying to heal other people, but it seems like I'm not getting healed, and I'm getting worse.
I wish I could say that I had never heard of that before, but unfortunately, that's all too often the case. That those who are the caregivers sometimes are the last people to either take care of themselves or get the help that they need. And, you know, in every case, I would say that it is very much in your best interest, and more importantly, in the interest of the people that you're offering help to really take whatever time it is that you need, you know, to nurture yourself, but also to enlist the help of other people who can give care to you. Sometimes that's as simple as, you know, routine checkup, you know, medically. In other cases, it's things like, you know, making time for exercise, making time for things that you actually enjoy, making time for things that make you happy, that make you feel joy, that make you happy to be alive. And if you're offering care and help to others, it actually becomes all that much more important that you yourself get the time and the help that you need to also, you know, feel joy in just living.
Wholeheartedly agree with you on that. I've actually been going to like suicide health groups and stuff like that, and what's more prevalent I've noticed in our family is the mental health issues that came out. Mm-hmm. Because actually four members in my family committed suicide within the last 5 years.
Oh my.
Good Lord. Yeah. So sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
It's been difficult. And the funny thing is, I've been working in the healthcare industry, and it just became more and more like, I want to do so much in this area and to learn more and do more, but I'm so stuck in a rut. And for the first year, first 6 months, it was really bad. So I couldn't even like get out of bed or anything. And then when I went into therapy, and then they called me in, and then I had to stop my therapy. But the thing is, I can't go back to where I was going. And it sucks because I'm not working. So I'm stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
But you're right about working out.
Ollie, what do you see here as far as a reading?
Well, I'm using my crystal ball, and while you've been speaking, and I'm so sorry about the losses that you're going through, it's very difficult. And I understand where you're coming from. And looking at the crystal ball, the sense that I'm really getting from this is more of an impression than an actual image. It's almost as if, especially given the amount of deaths that you've had, you know, those were quite a bit of number. You said 12, I believe, right?
No, actually 4 from suicide, and then 4, just my grandparents passing away. And I think that as soon as I moved out of my old place, where I used to live in Vacaville, California, and I moved here,
Right.
Has changed. Mm. It's gotten nicer, but I'm stuck with the money thing. So,
right. The sense that I'm getting here is almost as if there's the grave in of itself is acting as a magnet that's drawn. These death, sorrow, this spirits of the dead themselves are hanging over this situation like a pall, like a veil, so to speak, and they're acting as an anchor that really are bringing you down. I mean, I can hear, you know, clairaudience here. I can hear the sorrow palpably in your voice and the hurt in your voice. And you say that you have you know, had a hard time getting out of bed, and I can see that in the crystal ball. The sense that I'm getting is not that you're necessarily, you know, that this situation is doomed, but what needs to be done is that there needs to be a break with that sorrow, with that past hurt, with death in of itself. And roads need to be open towards sunshine, you know, stepping out of this fog, because that's what I'm seeing around you, this spiritual fog that is really keeping you from progressing. Relationships are stunted, your work life is stunted. This fog needs to be cleared up so that you can mourn the dead, but the dead stay in their place. You know, they no longer drag the living down, so to speak. Do you know how, does that make sense to you?
And the thing is, like, just recently I've started to meditate again, and I started praying to the moon within the last, I would say, since New Year's. Prayers to the moon and stuff like that. So it's like I'm doing stuff that I used to do before.
Something
better.
Something to consider is the best of life here, who we just had on the show, posted on the forum, the Crystal Silence League. And I do think that, given that I'm using a crystal ball at this very moment, that's very, you know, it's a strong sign that I think you should go to the Crystal Silence to help lift you out of that fog, to help lift you out. But the sense that I'm getting of why you're facing, you know, to get to your question, why you're facing what you're facing, is that this sorrow and the death has all become a sort of anchor that's dragging you back and keeping you in this state of mourning, this liminal state, so to speak, where you're unable to move forward, where you're unable to really let your relationships and work blossom into, you know, what they should be.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd like to say something again. This is another case, and again, I know you didn't mean it this way, so please, again, I'm not trying to single you out, but you see, it presents as, when am I going to get a job? And suddenly we're in the midst of haunting by sorrow and by the dead. It's so interesting what a reading will bring out, because you have done what you could to deal with this, certainly working at a suicide prevention center. But you, I would recommend you to get some help from somebody who will be a spiritual guide and leader to you. I think you should go to the Crystal Silence League. You know what that is, right? CrystalSilenceLeague.org?
Okay.
Okay, so go there. Oh, it's CrystalSilenceLeague.org. It's called the Crystal Silence League. Well, they've been posting about it in the chat room with the URL. It's a free prayer service where everyone prays for everyone else. You post your prayer. You can do it once a day if you want. You could post once an hour. And there are people, there have been some who, for instance, are struggling with addiction or alcoholism, and they'll post, please keep me sober today, and we all pray for them today. I mean, we will send our prayers, and whenever someone prays for you, you'll get a little email message. It'll just say, someone prayed for you.
Okay.
And you'll know that your prayer has gone around the world. There are hundreds of people praying every day for other people, and we read your prayers. We, at our church, print the prayers out, and we will put your picture, if you upload your picture, the public will not see it, but we will put your picture and your prayer under our crystal ball, and we pray over that. The deacons in the church and I pray over those every day for 30 days. So you'll have a lot of people on your side. I also think you might want to do some bathing and road opening to release some of that sorrow, let some of it go, and then do some drawing work afterwards. I'm sorry, say that again?
I've been doing that. I've been lighting crystals and candles and then taking a bath, and I like to express flowers and put it in the bath and put the bath salts.
Beautiful.
Like that. So
good. You know your work. Yeah, you know your work very, very, very good. You understand what needs to be done. I think that having companions and community might help you, and someone to kind of, you know, keep you buoyed up. And some sort of a spiritual cleansing. Have you ever done an egg cleansing, for instance?
Mm-mm. No, what's that?
With an egg cleansing, you take an egg, like a raw egg, in its shell, and you roll it over your body, and you just roll it, and you just say all the negativities goes into this egg. Some people, when the egg is heavy, you'll feel it. It'll become very heavy feeling. It might, in some cases, people will use more than one egg, but most people will use one egg for their whole body. Some people will have someone else do it for them, and there are people who do it. It's very common in Southern Europe and Spain, Portugal, Italy, Sicily, to cleanse with an egg. It's also became, of course, common in Mexico and in other parts of Spanish-colonized America because it came from that area. So the egg is then thrown out to break. Usually it's thrown to an old tree or to the base of the tree, or it may be thrown into a crossroads, depending on your tradition. It's very powerful.
I use coconuts for that. I see. I'm Indian. So in our culture, we use coconut.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Coconut in the same manner, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, very similar type of thing, yeah. Well, we call it egg cleansing. In Mexico, it's called limpia, which means cleansing. And those kinds of things are, you may need to do them often, but the other thing is to honor the dead. Make sure you have a little place for them, but keep them in that place. Don't be keeping them all around your house, everywhere in your mind, everywhere you walk. Put up a photo.
I stop that because I was so, like, this year I would have to say my mindset's gotten more positive. I'm doing mantras, like, every day I'm getting better and better, and I'm only trying to pass different ideas into my life. So that type of stuff. But I noticed, like, whenever, like, I have my sister on my phone and I occasionally see her, no type of thing on my phone, but I don't try to attract it anymore because I moved into a new place, a new energy. So I didn't want the past to come with me. And I like
that's good. That's good. Well, you know, there's always that confusing moment between loyalty to the dead and moving on, and you know, keeping a voicemail message is one of those things that sometimes, you know, people do that so much. You know, like, well, I still have that voicemail message, I'll never get rid of it. Maybe you should record it into something else and not have it so that you're always, you know. I mean, there's a point at which the dead cannot help us, and at a point which we have to say goodbye and let go. Now, but I just want to very briefly, because we're just about out of time here with this call, but I would like to say, as far as the job goes, what I'm hearing from you is that the sorrow that really, and it's about so many things, is affecting your job ability. I do not believe that you can move on in the job world or in the love world until you have resolved some of this other grief. But as for job getting, you've got a steady work thing, get some salt, gravel root, all of those things that you know about because you do read the Lucky Mojo Forum.
Yeah.
And you know, but don't use the word but so much. When you get to be, because you have a tendency, when someone says something, you say, yes, but. And that's not going to get you hired, baby. So, but it's also a symptom of your state of mind, which is, I'm still not breaking free. I'm still not breaking free. So stop the yes, but, and try for yes, and. Okay, just try for it. And that will present you in a more upbeat way. All right. I think you still have a ways to go. This is a long road, and grief is definitely something you have to step your way through, and there's no shortcut. But I think, you know, just stay in touch with us and pray through the crystal silence. We'll all be there for you. Okay.
Can I make one additional recommendation before you sign off, Pam?
Sure.
One of the things that I asked Obi about is if it would be appropriate for you to make a, well, we'll say an offering to the spirit of death itself. Mm-hmm. And this, you can think of it as a ransom. You can think of it as, you know, sort of paying tribute, and you make the offering, and then you forget about it.
That's
the idea is that you have recognized death, and now let it go.
Yeah. The thing is, I lost so much confidence when she passed away. Like, everything just, it went downhill from there. But I would say that I lost
there's that but.
I'm also going through 7 years of Saturn. I'm not sure if you've heard of that Saturn 7-year rule, but everything got constrained and constricted at the same time. When I lost it, it just made things worse. But I'm asking more, I think more positively every day. Like, thank you for everything, universe, for everything that I've got. Thank you for this house. Thank you for the people in my life. So I've become more appreciative of who I have in my life and the people that are here. So,
excellent.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Good luck to you, and we'll all be praying. Yeah. All right. Okay, Miss Tammy Lee, what's up next?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Katz. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast in iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it a lot. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com, and this week's special guest, Lukianos of Lukianos.com. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now let's go back to our callers who signed up to be on the air, and our next caller is calling from area code 707. This is Miss Catherine from Vallejo, California. Miss Christine, beg your pardon. Miss Christine, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am. How are you?
Great. Welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome.
Hi, how are you? I would have a question. I actually had a reading by Kat probably about 2 or 3 years ago up at the shop, and years ago I was told that the man I was supposed to be with was not able to be in my life. He wasn't ready to come forward. Some issues happened, and I ended up meeting a gentleman 2 years ago, and I believe he is the one Miss Kat was talking about. He was with a woman who had passed away of cancer, and he was with her for 18 years, and he and I have been together for the last 2.5 about right now. Anyways, it seems as though every time we get close, he gets scared and goes, you know, just kind of recluses and wants to say, I'm not ready for a relationship. And so I guess what I'm wondering is in fact this gentleman somebody I'm meant to be with, or is it time to move on?
Or is he haunted by...
Well, you know, I have started doing Star automatic writing, and the previous, you know, her name is Stacy that had passed, and I have been in communication with her via automatic writing, and she says, hang in there. So I just... We've been having problems, so I just wanted to find out what I should be doing or to do nothing.
All right. Well, I'd like to ask a couple of questions. What is your sign of the zodiac?
I am a Pisces.
And what is his sign of the zodiac?
He's a Cancer.
Oh, that's a good combination, isn't it?
Yeah, we get along great.
All righty. So I'm going to just quickly use my cards here. Well, I see the Two of Cups, and that is a card that shows a man and a woman facing each other. And it looks, we call this sometimes the card of betrothal. And it's a good card, generally speaking. It's a card that is optimistic and says that things can go very well between a couple. And the only problem is that in this card, we see that the woman is offering her cup to the man with both of her hands, and the man is only offering to take her cup. He is not actually offering his cup. So at this point, this man is not, he's definitely with you. He's there. He's in the picture, but he has not yet, he's accepting you, but he's not yet offering his own heart. Okay. Now, in this card, the woman is dressed in a similar way to the High Priestess. You're a very wise woman, in other words. She has a leafy crown that signifies her intelligence. She's dressed in white and blue with little red shoes. She's quite passionate. The man is dressed more like the card of the Fool. And he may lose his opportunity with you because, you know, the Fool card is a guy who walks over a cliff because he doesn't pay attention to what he's doing. And he may lose contact with you or lose the relationship if he doesn't do something soon. So I understand you don't have the rest of your life to sit around and wait and see what's going on with this. You are a very wise person. The fact that you got in through automatic writing and spirit, which is a kind of spirit mediumship, that you have contacted his late wife, that's amazing. It shows a real talent, gift on your part, and also a strong wisdom. You're a very wise person. But he is a fool here because he may lose you simply through inaction. Okay? Now, Nadia mentioned something. Can she get the wife's graveyard dirt? And, of course, that's what I was going to go to next, because one of the things that we do in a situation like this is to call upon the deceased lover to help. So do you know what I'm talking about getting her graveyard dirt?
Yes.
Have you tried that?
She was cremated, and his daughter has the ashes. I have not met the daughter. So
okay.
That's my opinion, though. I can't.
All right. Too bad. I'm just going to relate for the audience who might listen to this later and might not know. You can use the graveyard dirt of someone who loved the person you loved who has died and sprinkle a little on them and say, you know, to that spirit, get him to love me the way he loved you. Well, you can't do it in this case because you don't have the graveyard dirt. All right. Lukianos, what do you think?
Well, the first thing that I just noticed, so you've been in a relationship with this gentleman for 2.5 years, but you still haven't met his children. That's curious.
I've met one of his children, yeah.
Okay. Out of curiosity, how many children does he have?
He has one child with the woman that passed away, and then the daughter is not his child. It's her child from a previous relationship.
I understand.
I've met his child.
I understand. Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better about the situation then. Okay. So, well, with love work, and I learned this from this cat, it's always a good idea to put a time limit on it. And so that's what I tend to do in terms of asking about likely outcomes for love situations. So I'll ask it in terms of time period. So is this situation amenable to work being done to move it toward the direction of, and before I make assumptions, what type of relationship is your goal with this man?
I want to get married and have a baby. I was actually even told by the deceased that we'd be having a baby. My ultimate is to get married. He knows that. That's what I want.
Okay. No, that is definitely important. Okay. So I get a solid yes to the question of, is the situation amenable to work being done to bring that outcome about? So that's good. And so is this work that can be done? And in terms of, so when you say that you're in a relationship, how much contact do you have with him? Do you live with him? Do you see him, you know, every week? How does that work?
I usually talk to him and see him pretty much on a daily basis. He lives in the same city as I do.
Mm-hmm.
He spends the night a lot, you know, and vice versa.
Okay. Okay. So I think Alu is probably going to come up with some of the same answers that I'm asking Obi about. But I asked about things like lodestone work and candle work, and I got a solid yes to both of those. This looks like a meat and potatoes, do the work, reel them in. And you have the dead on your side with that.
Right.
All righty. So you think that there's a good chance here? I love that ringing sound.
Yeah, that's the sound of the shells in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you are going to need to bring the dead into this for a little extra oomph. And you're going to use his ancestors to do it. How much of his immediate family, extended family, have you had contact with? Have you met his mother?
I have not met his mother. I've met his uncle and his son, and I've met a few of his friends. Not that this, I guess his friends wouldn't matter. I've met his brother.
Okay. Are both of his parents still living?
Just his mom.
Just his mom. Okay. Well, Obi is suggesting that you appeal to the ancestors in his line to help you with this. I mean, it's always a good idea to be on good terms with his mother if you've met her. Because Miss Cat puts it far better than I do.
Yeah, I always say the best husband is a guy who already loves his mom because he knows how to love women.
Mm-hmm. And I can't put it better than that. But this is a case where you're more likely to get results if you also work on the social network in which this man is. So, yeah, bring his ancestors into it. You don't necessarily have to bring your ancestors into it, but you definitely need to bring his ancestors into it.
Okay.
And it sounds like you're already in contact with his deceased departed wife, so that's
right.
A good thing, too. You can definitely keep her in the mix as well.
Okay.
So, Ollie, what would you say?
You know, given what we've seen here, my recommendation would be a couple of things. First and foremost, we do have to stress is that what we keep getting in the reading and the sense that I'm getting is that with this situation, it all comes down with his own emotions and mental state. When it comes to root work, you can make a person, you know, you can sweeten a person towards you, you can draw them towards you, but unless they make the actual changes deep down, you know, you can't really force them to love you. And the issue is that he's dealing with his own problems, his own emotional problems with his wife passing away. So there's two things that I would recommend doing. First, I would recommend doing love work with the blessing of his ancestors as well as his wife that passed away, okay? And this can be done by setting up an altar to them and placing your love work on that altar, you know. So placing your honey jar right on the ancestor's altar and calling out to them, ancestors, you know, come and help. Don't let this person be alone. Don't let this man be alone. I am the right woman for him. Draw us together. Help soothe his heart and open it up towards him. The other thing to do is to leave a cup of water out on that altar and ask his wife to bless that water. And then use that water in bathing to either bathe him, to bathe yourself. If you can't bathe him, then use a doll baby. Using that water that's been blessed by the Spirit gives her blessing to the relationship and will actually help him move on. It will help him overcome his sorrow, overcome his grief, and actually step forward into a new relationship. I think that's really what's going to turn this situation around. When he himself feels that he's got the blessing of his wife to cross. And you can do that with that little water conjure, that water trick that I taught you. The other thing
and
is
don't,
to do a...
And don't forget menstrual blood and spaghetti sauce,
right,
please.
Right. The other trick is what I would recommend, a love uncrossing. You get, you know, a double action red and black candle, you bud it. You dress the black portion with uncrossing oil and the red with love me oil, and you burn that down on a picture of you and him to uncross any type of bad negativity that is in the relationship, anything that's holding the relationship back. It helps uncross the situation and helps things move forward. I think that the combination of those is really going to help the situation move forward, because you're going to have to help nurture him out of his grief and open him up into a new relationship. So honey jars, an ancestral altar, you know, menstrual blood like Miss Cat said, the blessed water and the uncrossing candle is where I see this going.
Okay. Yeah, and back here in the chat room, all the ladies are saying sex magic, sex magic, sex magic.
I can do that.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up. I will say, too, that idea of the water is very elegant, as someone said in the chat room, elegant and beautiful. Miss Tammy Lee. We're ready to close the show. Next week we're going to have a mystery guest, right?
Yes, ma'am. That's absolutely right. And thank you so much, Miss Kat. Thank you, Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Lukianos, in Baltimore, Maryland, for being our special guest this week from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And we do invite you back to tune in next week when we will have another special guest from AIR, our special Mr. Guest. And once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Condiment Ali at condimentali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Tammy Lee. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you for your information and your input.
All right. Good night, all.
Good night, all.
Good night, all.